right here.
Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
Murph and Andy Show with sports and more until 4. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy, and Andrew Downs is producing. Welcome to a little bit of a melting Wednesday here.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, yep.
I can feel Mr. Movie's aura.
Yeah, that's right. It threw me off because he was here on Tuesday last week. Top of mind here, some breaking news out of Iowa City. Reese Morgan has announced his retirement. He's been offensive and defensive line coach at Iowa. 19 years on Kirk Ferentz's staff. Those of you who are old enough remember Reese Morgan as the head coach at Iowa City West when Iowa City West won 3 state championships, I think, in the 90s. And Morgan may have left Iowa City West with like a 26, 27 game winning streak, something like that. And he has, Andy, he's coached 7 players at Iowa to first or second team All-America recognition.
Sent a lot of players to the NFL.
Many. Some of them diamonds in the rough. That yeah, he was known for going out there. Kirk Ferentz often would credit him on this show and in other interviews with being that guy he's glad that he listened to.
Definitely one of those guys who you're talking about when you point out the longevity of Kirk Ferentz's staff. You talk about, obviously, he's been here the whole time, but he's kept so many faces from the staff, really, throughout. Reese Morgan, been with him the entire time? Whole time.
19 years.
19
right?
to 20 years, on it?
Yeah.
All but 1 year,
and he...
Anybody been with him longer than that? That's still on the staff?
Doesn't seem like it. He had 146
Phil
high
Parker,
school
maybe.
Wins. He's in the Iowa High School Hall of Fame as well. 50 greatest high school coaches in state history, according to the Des Moines Register. Native of Ohio, but he is man. He has been well known with the Iowa Hawkeyes for a long time here. And he has announced his retirement. He's going to step down before spring practice. Morgan is 68 years old. He's coached Iowa's defensive line the past 7 seasons, previously coached Iowa's offensive line. So he's
sent a lot of people to the NFL.
He has.
He's handled a lot of success stories.
He's done some good things. And, yeah, this is a surprise. At least I had not heard any... I hadn't heard any rumblings of this or any whispers of this. I mean, it comes the time of year you'd want this to happen. You have plenty of time to get somebody else into that position. But he's a respected enough assistant that sometimes you'll get whispers going around, at least in the circles that I'm in. I have not heard that, hey, look for Reese Morgan to step down.
Wonder if it was the winter that did it.
Look,
man,
blame this winter on everything.
Thinking about doing another year or two, but...
Jeez,
the heck with this, man. This winter was the linchpin for me. I'm out of here. I like to see guys in their 60s retire. Seems like we're always talking about people that are still working into their 70s.
Yeah, especially football
coaches. I'm not working
into
my 70s. No way.
Well, I probably am, as everybody in my generation will, but
no, not me. I don't care how poor I have to live. I'm not working when I'm in my 70s. No way. I'm fishing. That's it. I'm fishing and reading and...
Eat a lot of fish.
You're basically going to have Bryce Miller's life, but Bryce is now working.
Right? Yeah, right, exactly. I'm going to have Bryce Miller's life, 20 years after he's already started it.
Without a steady paycheck.
Yeah, man, I don't care how poor I have to live. I'm not working when I'm 70. No way. I'm not working when I'm 68.
At 68, he's getting out at 68. That's good because like a lot of these legendary coaches... Bear Bryant, Joe Paterno, so many of them, they coached way past retirement age, retired, and then died because it's like they had no other life.
And you can understand that. I mean, a lot of these guys are workaholics. They have tunnel vision.
It's a good profession for tunnel vision and workaholics.
It is because I think you really have to be that that way anymore with all the money that's involved and just everybody. It seems like that's the way everybody does it. And if you do anything less than that, you're this horrible underachiever, but or slacker. But yeah, I mean, he's 68. He's hopefully in good health and has some good years in front of him where he can. I mean, it's a hard-earned retirement.
Yeah, I don't know him well. Those who do know him well speak very highly of him as a gentleman and a good guy. So if you're just joining us, Reese Morgan has announced his retirement as an assistant coach. He's defensive line coach currently at Iowa after 19 years and a legendary high school career at Iowa City West, where he won 3 state championships and exited with a lengthy winning streak there. So that's going on today. Also over at Wells Fargo Arena, Waukee eliminated Dowling. Trent Condon on the call on 1460 KXNO this morning. I saw that halftime score 16-14, and when the three of us met for lunch, I assumed that somebody's strategy was holding the ball. That's wrong. They're just missing that many shots. It was just a terrible shooting day or shooting half. Clearly, Waukee heated up in the second half, but it was 16-14 at the half, and we've seen that over at State. It's when we hear the outcry for a shot clock.
Mm-hmm. That's what you automatically assume.
When you have somebody holding the ball. Yeah, to not be holding the ball and have a 16-14 score at halftime in Class 4A as well, where you expect to have better shooters, better athletes, bigger pool of players to pick from. You don't expect 16-14.
Well, it tells me that they should have done the old put Ollie on your shoulders and measure the rim. Say, that big gymitis they got.
Such a different atmosphere there, right? And they're used to playing in gyms where there's a wall like right behind the hoop, and now there's a vast array of probably mostly empty seats behind each hoop. It's got to be a lot different, but Waukee did pull away in the second half and win. And then Dubuque Senior beat Iowa City West in the final 4A quarterfinal.
And by the way, that is also a score that you would think somebody might have held the ball. Was that bad shooting as well? What was the score there?
39-36 was the final.
39-36? Wow. That's like a score out of the 1940s, 1930s.
Like a women's score.
Yeah, 39-36. What, girls in like class 1A or something. That's not a very good, very high scoring game either. So, all right, so we're into the semifinal games now. Des Moines Christian playing, Grandview Christian playing Montezuma.
Right.
So, contrasting styles. They'll go at it here this afternoon as boys basketball reaches the semifinal stage. Also, a lot going on today. Also, Iowa State playing tonight. Word came out today from Randy Peterson, Travis Hines, the reporters who are on site with Iowa State at West Virginia. Mariel Shayok is not playing. He is out with a foot injury. He's questionable for the Texas Tech game, too. Apparently, has not been ruled out. But he is out tonight, and I've been over television for about close to an hour. Is there an update on Nick Weiler-Babb, who had a knee injury in the previous game? He's iffy tonight too,
yeah,
right?
Iffy was the word Steve Prohm used. I think a game time decision is what they said, but I've seen several reporters, Travis Hines, Chris Williams, guys like that, who would be surprised if Nick Weiler-Babb plays tonight.
Jeez. I don't like the way this is setting up.
Well, it's
I don't
about
think anybody does.
It's about even now with West Virginia, because West Virginia has lost several starters in several different ways, or at least a couple of different ways, suspensions, injuries. I mean, they're down to a really short bench. It reminds you a little bit of Iowa State last year when they had reasons for having such a short bench and finished in last place in the Big 12. West Virginia is now the worst team in the Big 12. So this is a game of attrition. Cameron Lard, we think, is there, right?
Yes, he did make the trip, and we do expect him to play.
Jeez.
That's probably a good decision at this point. They're down too many other people to have a guy sitting just because of a little violation of team rules. Just how bad was that rule that he broke? Medium bad. Okay, he's traveling.
Yeah, it was worse Monday morning than it was after practice Monday.
Well, Iowa State is deep enough to overcome this, you know. But the problem is West Virginia is a weird team. They just that playing style. Pressing you all over the place, getting under your skin. That building's a little weird. You got the Huggy Bear factor.
How do you think he processes the news that Iowa State's coming up here with down a starter, maybe two?
I think he does what he can to make it just as uncomfortable as possible for them. Maybe flips off the heat, takes almost all the toilet paper off the roll. So there's just like one strip enough that like when you go in there, you see that there's some toilet paper. So you decide to go ahead and use that, John.
But then you only have one square.
Well, you got like three squares. You know, there's like there's that last square that wraps around the roll and then kind of tapes itself to the other side. And you really only use that, you know, when the going gets tough. So he does that. He takes it all the way down to like four squares, right? So, flips the heat off. Maybe gets under there, turns off the hot water, or turns it down really low. So you got to crank the thing.
Now, Lindell Wigginton tonight, he starts, right? I mean, if he doesn't start tonight, what's going on? I mean, what's it take to get him in the starting lineup? This would be it, right? He starts tonight?
You'd think so.
Well, it's your test, right?
If Nick Weiler-Babb and Shayok are out, then the chance for
Wigginton and Zarantali to get in there much?
Well, Talen Horton-Tucker, he should play more,
THT,
right?
THT plays a lot.
Halliburton.
Yeah, Halliburton put up some shots. This will be an interesting game.
Who knows? Throw George Condon in there.
Man.
Just do whatever. Man, they need a win in this game. And it's just getting scary. Because that's just a team that you just... I never feel comfortable watching Iowa State play West Virginia.
But this depleted at West Virginia. If Iowa State
loses
this game...
I know they melted down.
And they beat Texas Tech this weekend, everybody's fine again.
Yep. They are.
And then you headed to Kansas
City.
It's
that close. I mean, we're living on the edge. With both of these teams, with Iowa and Iowa State, I mean, we are one win, one loss away from... I mean, you like fall... The fence is razor thin, right? I mean, you fall off onto one side. You know, you're like all good or all bad, and it's all decided by one loss or one win. Because you win this game, you look good doing it when you're down, right? When your back is kind of against the wall, you get this win. Doesn't matter that West Virginia is what they are this year. You feel like you beat Texas Tech in Lubbock. You come home, you can beat them. They become a real opportunity for you, right? Not a danger, an opportunity. Fans feel like they can get that win. Suddenly you win those two games going into the conference tournament that you won, what, three of the last 5 years? Everything's good. It's all well.
It's a circle the wagons game.
You lose two straight.
Man.
Everything is different.
This team is starting to grind on some real fans. Because I talked to a friend who is a real fan this morning. Donor, season tickets, the works. He's like, man, I get what Prohm's trying to do. But, man, how many times is Cameron Lard getting suspended? You know, what's the maximum? When is this enough? But you know Steve Prohm well enough to know that it is partly instinct, I'm sure, for any coach of, well, you know, the team's upside is much higher with this guy. But some of it with Prohm genuinely is, we've got to reach this guy. He's trying. If he can just get it, he can have a better life.
Well, I mean, the problem is we don't know what he's been doing.
Yeah, right? We don't know.
We don't know how severe that stuff is. And maybe to a certain extent, maybe to a certain extent, this is just kind of what coaches sort of expect to have on every team. There's one guy that just needs to be dragged along, and you just expect that so it doesn't get under your skin that much, and you can just kind of maintain by suspending him here and there. Or... maybe this is just a real drag.
Maybe he's just late to practice.
Yeah. But how annoying is that? I mean, really, I mean, you are there to play basketball. He's there to play basketball. But we don't know. We're just guessing right now. Get to practice on time. He's never been late once. Oh, yeah.
All right, retroactively, correct answer on throwdowns a month ago or one of the nine times it's been asked the past couple of years. Kansas will not win the Big 12 regular season title, will not share the title. Finally.
Yeah.
We were both right. I know I said they would not, but I thought Iowa State was going to win it. Man, did I miss on that.
I've maintained probably up until about 4 minutes left in that game last night against Oklahoma, that Kansas was going to find a way to win. So I was wrong.
Because you didn't think you were going to lose from here on out, and it looked it looked that way. You don't think you're going to lose to Oklahoma, the worst, or one, not the worst team, a down Oklahoma squad.
With some help from our friends at Wikipedia and USA Today, Andy put together what it was like the last time Kansas didn't win or share the regular season title. You know a couple of these, but it was 2004.
I know what the number one song is.
Yeah, here is the number one song.
Yeah. I listened to more yesterday.
Yeah, conducted it.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's Usher.
And Lil Jon.
Usher, Lil Jon, and Ludacris. Yeah.
And this also, a Pepsi commercial at the Super Bowl, right? Is it okay? Is it okay to order Pepsi?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Is it okay?
Okay.
And then Cardi B comes out.
All right, final season of this popular show. Final season.
Wow, this was still going? Friends was still going?
Barely.
Yeah, I think of that as such a 90s show.
It was still hanging around. It's at its
2004.
At its
peak. That was a long time ago, though.
That's when they were making $1 million an episode each. They tried to, NBC reportedly tried to splinter the Friends and give, pay based on
who got more.
They
would get more, though? Who would they pay more?
Originally supposed to be Courtney Cox. She was thought to be the star, but then it became like Jennifer Aniston and Matthew Perry, probably.
Yeah, Matthew Perry.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, they stuck together. They held out. They each got $1 million an episode.
I feel like I've seen the least of Matthew Perry.
Yeah, he has kind of been out of
Courtney
it.
Cox, you haven't seen either.
Because Matt LeBlanc has a funny show
he got
on Showtime called Episodes.
He was gone for a while, though. David Schwimmer. You know, Ross was he was in Band of Brothers.
What a jerk he was in Band of Brothers. Man, he was a good jerk. He was scared.
He was in the O.J. Simpson drama. That was good. He was good in that.
He's like a foot taller than Kardashian, but
he was Robert Kardashian.
Captured
he put
his essence.
You know, that skunk stripe in the middle of his forehead.
So that was final season of Friends, last time Kansas before this year did not win or share the Big 12 championship. Here's the top movie in the United States.
Oh, Father, you can do all things. Let this chalice go from me, and let your will be done.
Wish I knew the percentage of our listeners right now that recognize that movie. I don't know that I would have from that hint without having an idea of the time frame.
The big things that happen in that movie don't have a lot of dialogue.
Oh, yeah, it's The Last Temptation of Christ, which at that time...
Passion of the Christ.
I'm sorry.
Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. The Mel Gibson.
The Mel Gibson one, yes, which was the, at least at that time...
The highest grossing...
R-rated movie ever, right?
I think it still is.
Still is. So that was the top movie.
That was one of those one-and-dones for me. Saw it once in the theater, and then, all right, you've been great. Good night. Yeah. I'll never see you again. Not watching that again.
It's torture.
It's supposed to be.
You're supposed to feel what you Christ went through.
Yes.
But geez,
and
you do.
Not going to claim that it goes that far.
Yeah,
nobody's driving nails through my hands or anything.
Yeah, you were actually being tortured.
Rough watching that.
Yeah, fair point. Nick Saban was preparing for his he was in his final season, about to be in his final season at LSU, which would bring on this moment for Nick Saban.
9 seconds to play, and Drew Tate doesn't know that. The game's going to end on this play. He fires downfield. It's caught and into the end zone. Touchdown, Iowa! Touchdown, Iowa! No time on the clock. I don't believe what I just saw. Touchdown, Iowa! Oh, my God, I can't believe what I just saw.
That is voice of the Hawkeyes, currently suspended, Gary Dolphin. With the touchdown Iowa call, Iowa against LSU. You were there, right, AD?
I was.
Andy and I were there. We didn't know each other, though. I mean, I knew you
well.
No, I mean, we didn't know AD.
Oh, Andrew. Yeah, we didn't know.
I knew you guys, but you guys didn't know me.
It makes me sad we were all there together and didn't hang out.
Right.
That was a good trip.
You guys probably wouldn't have liked me then. I was young. I was like 22.
Mean?
I don't know.
Do you think you were kind of young and douchey?
You know, probably. How low were your pants then?
Oh man!
At that point,
were they belted around your knees?
Could you run?
Yeah, I could run. I almost ran out of there. I was pissed off. Jamarcus Russell had brought LSU all the way back. I was ready to leave.
I saw him
Odell
that day.
Beckham on that. That was before.
That was been before. Odell Beckham.
Yeah, he was on one of the other. Yeah, he was on Outback Bowl teams.
Right. He beat Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Jamarcus Russell that day and thinking he can't miss.
He was huge, right? Just huge.
Bring on the purple drink. Patriots, last time KU didn't win or share the Big 12 title. Patriots beat the Panthers in Super Bowl 38.
That hadn't changed.
But it was better known for this.
The FCC received more than 500,000 complaints about that broadcast. CBS was fined $550,000. And then the NFL was asked to refund the $10 million that they had been given to the halftime show sponsor. So Janet says that this is going to be the first and the last time that she ever talks about what happened that day.
All right, so there you have it. That's an example.
Was so stupid.
It's 500,000 complaints compared to one email complaining about Gary Dolphin. One email brought all that on, all that terrible PR, all of that. 500,000 complaints over a woman's nipple seen from 50 yards.
Well, and to be fair, we made a bigger deal out of Janet Jackson.
Not around here, we did.
Yeah, we did.
What? It wasn't a big deal.
We had news stories on it. Well, no, I thought it was a way overblown deal.
Yes.
There were news stories on it. We were going out to David's bridal shop and asking him about wardrobe malfunctions.
That's why we have that
people
stupid...
People went nuts.
That's why we have that dumb 7-second delay on sound.
We had... Flooded. I mean, we didn't even have that broadcast, right? People still flooded us with emails angry about that.
I agree. CBS, right?
Yeah, angry about a woman's breast, and not even and it had a pasty on it, and it was Janet Jackson.
Yeah, so
first round pick in the breast draft.
It wasn't this was National
Geographic across the country. Yeah. Wasn't any well droopy swinger.
The number one pick in the draft.
Janet Jackson.
The last time the Kansas Jayhawks did not win the Big 12 championship was the Chargers, but the pick never played for the Chargers.
With the first choice in the 2004 NFL draft, the San Diego Chargers select Eli Manning, cornerback, Mississippi.
I remember thinking the look on Manning's face. He looked like the most miserable guy in the world. But now I've kind of come to realize that's just kind of the way he looks. Like he doesn't mean anything by it. He's, by all reports, is a nice guy. But he just kind of, there have been memes created about his face during games. You know, he just oftentimes looks kind of put out or confused.
And just doesn't have a real happy.
Yeah.
Happy-go-lucky game face.
Barry Bonds would soon hit this.
Bonds hits one to left center field. He hits it well. Plesko back. It is out of here. Number 700 for Barry Bonds.
Hit that with his arm. Didn't even use a bat. That's how big he was at that time. Just used his arm to hit number 700.
He was. Remember how ridiculous that was to the point. What
they were
his walks.
They were walking him with the bases loaded.
Yeah, right. They were walking in runs, not to pitch to him. It was that automatic.
That just sounds ridiculous. Like the bases are loaded. They walk.
Like 250 intentional walks or something. It was just in 160 blew away the games, record. Right? Yeah.
Oh, man. So the Big Ten announced recently Jim Delaney will step down in 2020. Had some big hits, some monster hits as far as revenue goes. Had a few misses, too. It leads us to our quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Yeah, which newcomer has added the most to its conference? Maryland, West Virginia, Rutgers, or Loyola?
You know, it's funny. No one, I don't think, has argued that West Virginia provided the Big 12 with any sort of market bump, right? I mean, nobody cares about Morgantown, West Virginia.
Just John Denver anyway. And he's dead.
Yeah, that was like one song.
One hit.
Yeah, otherwise, he's a Colorado dude.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like they're easily the pick here. I mean, football and men's basketball, they have added I feel like they've added significantly to the Big 12. They are better. It is better to have them than Colorado. It's better to have them than Missouri.
Missouri, I might argue.
Well, I mean, I agree on Colorado. But it's all proximity, right? I mean, you're not talking about Missouri being a good program, at least not now.
No, not now.
Basketball and football have been a mess.
At one time, basketball was good.
Football, they've been good at football more recently than basketball.
Can't argue for Rutgers. Loyola, you got that Final Four run,
yeah,
but you have
no football.
That's
one thing. Yeah, I mean, it gives them the foothold in Chicago, and that's good for the Valley.
Foothold, though?
Well, put it this way, Drake alums in Chicago love the fact that they can go watch
Also, that
Drake
Final Four, that's huge for a league that had just lost its two marquee schools to have Loyola make that run to the Final Four and kind of stay in the front of people's minds. I really think that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. And when Wichita State left, I mean, there were people that were like, well, the Valley will never have another Final Four team. Another school capable of going to the Final Four. They hadn't even gotten that sentence out of their mouth.
Right.
That's Loyola was in it.
That's true. Maryland is certainly better than Rutgers. I mean,
Rutgers has done nothing.
Maryland, and they've gotten the most attention for something really negative, the death of a player, but...
But I mean, basketball wise, they have a history.
They do.
Got a national championship.
Women's basketball program is really strong too. I realize that's not what drives the passion for a team. But yeah,
but West Virginia is a passionate sports school, right? I mean, they are passionate about that program there. Those programs, they fill those places up when they're good.
Yeah, and they've even had coaches that had either been oddly charismatic enough, like Huggy Bear, or annoying enough, like Dana Holgorsen, just doing everything but crediting Iowa State for just stomping the Mountaineers that day, and then complaining about the field storming. So you've even had almost a rivalry despite all that distance.
They've had good teams. Interesting. They've added an interesting element, I think, to the Big 12, no doubt.
When we come back on the Murph and Andy Show, more, including the fun.
Play a little Guess Whose Birthday, powered by Cellular Advantage. Andy, you're up first. Guess Whose Birthday?
In this Bond film, a new guy will take over. His casting has been surrounded by controversy. So who is this blonde Bond?
It's Daniel Craig.
It is.
He's 53.
He's 51, so it's a narrow miss, but a miss nonetheless. Murph, guess whose birthday?
I interviewed, and if you didn't know, her dad is Ron Howard. You guys probably know her from Jurassic World, which was awesome.
Bryce Howard.
Yeah, you got two of the three.
Bryce Dallas Howard, right?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
That's right, yeah. The assist from Andy.
Bryce Howard is 39.
She's 38, so you do get the point. Wow. Well done. Andy, guess whose birthday?
2005 Heisman Trophy winner of Southern California is giving back his trophy.
It's Reggie Bush.
It is.
Let's see here. Reggie Bush is 36.
He's 34, so that's another narrow miss. Murph, guess whose birthday?
At 7'1 and 325 pounds, he is the only player in NBA history to win the NBA scoring title without making a single three-point field goal, and holds many franchise records for the Lakers, Magic, and Heat.
Yeah, man, saw Xavier Foster, 7-footer, shooting those threes yesterday. You didn't see Shaq shooting threes.
No, you didn't.
Shaquille O'Neal, and he's 48.
He's 47. Well done.
All right, Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, and it is time to get some more here on a Wednesday.
It's time for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. I'm Scott Landreth, inviting you to get more savings, more selection, and more service only at Lithia Volkswagen. Visit DesMoinesVW.com, and now, back to Murph and Andy.
All right, it's Ash Wednesday. Here's three things about Ash Wednesday. Now, while it's not a holy day of obligation, all Roman Catholics are encouraged to attend Mass on this day in order to mark the beginning of Lent. Number two, the distribution of ashes reminds us of our own mortality and calls us to repentance. And number three, strip joint in Las Vegas once drew public criticism for declaring it Ass Wednesday and offering a half-price cover. Mid-American Energy has been busy this winter, to say the least. That's an understatement.
Wait, hang on.
That's genius.
Those are your three facts. It took a big turn.
Well,
I mean, I felt like
two
I was,
of them were I feel like were pretty commonly known. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they're not surprising.
But
the
I didn't
third
mind.
One,
I grew up Catholic. I didn't mind being reminded of why you do what you do. But number three, that really happened.
Well, didn't you want to learn a little something? You didn't want to just listen to the same old lessons over again.
I don't know that I learned anything, but okay.
Did you know that already?
The number three?
Yeah.
No. If I did, I forgot. I don't feel like I'd forget that.
Ass Wednesday.
So back to my point.
That's so wrong.
Mid-American Energy has been busy this winter. Energy usage has been through the roof. It's been just bitterly cold and relentless, right? I mean, at least since the middle of January. Here's a quote from Mid-American Energy, and a press release by our friend Jeff Greenwood, who now does all the PR for them over there, former KCCI reporter. On January 29th and 30th, we experienced new all-time peak day volumes across our natural gas system. The January 29th volume was 2.7% higher than our previous peak day record set back in January of 2014. March 3rd set a peak day volume record for the month of March.
Yeah, Sunday was brutal.
People just stayed in, cranked up the heat.
Is my house mentioned in this press release anywhere, in this media release?
No, okay, good. We were just kind of wondering. I mean, you know, you're gonna use the energy you're gonna use. It's not like Mid-American is you know, getting rich off of this, and they're selling a lot of energy, right? I mean, we're using it all up. We're buying it all up. On the heels of the mayo chip, Heinz is rolling out Mayo Must and Mayo Q.
Need to rethink Mayo Must. That's mayonnaise and mustard.
Yeah, I mean, which
Mayo Must?
Yeah, but yeah, must. That sounds like a musty smell.
It does.
It's better than Mayo Turd.
Mayo Turd.
Yes, it is. What about mustnays?
Mayo Turd. That was shot down immediately. One guy raised his hand and immediately regretted it. What, Mayo Turd? Is there something wrong with that? Forget it. I didn't say that. Forget it. Forget that I said anything.
Mustnays? Mustonays?
Mustnays?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's... Anything Must-a-nays. Ending in nays sounds like a nasal spray.
Yeah.
Right. Mayo Must. I mean, there's not a good... First of all, nobody seeks to combine those two, I don't think. I mean, you put that on a sandwich, mayonnaise and mustard, yeah, but... Do you long for the flavor of those blended together?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like a Durkee's dressing or something. I don't know. Mayo Q, mayonnaise and barbecue sauce.
Somebody needs a new revenue stream.
They got it. You combine all these things, you do save room in the door of your refrigerator,
yeah,
right?
And fewer knives.
Yeah, good point. The door of my refrigerator is just all sauce, right? It's just all condiments. There are two blockbuster videos left in the world.
In the world.
Perth, Australia has one, and Bend, Oregon has one. The one in Australia is closing soon.
Man.
So there will be one blockbuster videos left in Bend, Oregon. They got to keep that alive, right? I mean, just for...
Nostalgia.
Just for nostalgia, just so they can say this is the only one. I mean, that was so big, they had a bowl game.
Yeah.
And it was Blockbuster Stadium, right? Wasn't that the name of the Dolphins Stadium for a while?
Yeah.
Blockbuster Stadium.
You could not imagine
was that,
that business
Wayne
going
Huizenga?
Away.
Was that a Wayne Huizenga business? Did he own that? Down there in Miami?
I don't know if he owned Blockbuster. We know he owned the Dolphins. You wouldn't have thought Blockbuster could go away. And now, yeah, in Bend, Oregon, they should turn it into like a... a 2000s museum. You know, go in there and you see all this stuff, and at the same time, you can still rent a Blockbuster video.
Or, yeah, yeah, 80s, 90s. Yeah, they have some VHS 90s. Cassettes, and they have a VHS player, a little nostalgia.
Yeah, get
some old video
nostalgic.
Games or an old arcade or
just
something.
Just go around the bend.
Yeah, man, because Blockbuster videos, they had, you know, every little mom and pop shop had a video rental place, right? I mean, the grocery store did, and
yeah.
Little quick shops had video rentals.
And then Redbox was riding high for a while.
Well, I mean, I was just saying that Blockbuster videos came in and knocked all of them out, right? I mean, Blockbuster yeah. videos was the... See, I was going to say King Kong in the market. Now I got to rethink that all the time.
But I think you can say that because...
It's a video store.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And they might have the video King Kong. Anyway, I digress too early. The winner of the gigantic Mega Millions jackpot, he's from South Carolina. He's decided he's going to take the $878 million lump sum payout rather than receive the entire $1.5 billion jackpot over 30 years.
What's a financial advisor say do?
Well, they're divided, totally divided. They right now, the upper tax bracket in the United States is very, very low, lower than it's basically ever been close to our lifetime. So you obviously get launched into the highest tax bracket if you
win
a jackpot like this, and you would pay the least amount of taxes if you took this lump sum right now. So in the big perspective, that makes sense. For the most part, people aren't very responsible when they get a gigantic payment like that, and they just spend it like crazy, and they spend it up quick, much quicker than they think, and everybody comes out of the woodwork because there's all this money, and that 30 years of payouts,
like kind of 50 million a year for 30 years to get to 1.5 billion minus
so like
taxes.
Bobby Bonilla's contract.
Well, the 878 million, that's what you get when you get a lump sum.
Right.
You don't get the 1.5 billion.
But right.
Yeah, you over 30 years, everybody guesses that taxes will go up in that time, so your tax burden would actually be less in the long run.
And if you die in 10 years.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at this and they're like, I don't know if I'm going to be alive. If you're 60 years old, you don't want 30 years of payouts, right? If you're really greedy in 60. If you're generous and you care about your family and the future generations, then yeah, you still take the payoffs, but maybe you don't have any family.
Yeah, where were they before I had this money?
Yeah, right. I mean, they weren't planning on supporting me. Why should I support them? So he takes the giant lump sum payout. I think that's interesting. Ted Lindsay died this week, guys. Ted Lindsay, and most people won't know who that is. So he was a major part of one of the greatest lines in NHL hockey history. He was the left winger on Gordie Howe's line. He was basically, and that line won a bunch of Stanley Cups. He was kind of the Lou Gehrig of the NHL, right? So Babe Ruth is Gordie Howe. And then, but it takes more than Babe Ruth to make those Red Wings teams, the 50s, as great as they were. He is the second greatest player. And he was so tough. I mean, I don't think this guy had a single real tooth in his head. He fought all the time. Really tough, grinding winger. Could score like crazy. Had a mean streak a mile wide. Everybody gave him a ton of room. And he actually started the NHL Players Union. Was very tough,
yep.
Even in negotiations. And the Red Wings, I mean, this guy was, you know, Red Wing royalty, blue blood. They were so pissed off that he started this union, they traded him. And even after that, he said he was still Red Wing through and through. And so the fans loved him. So in Detroit this week, they have flags at half staff.
Wow.
It is a big deal. And Gordie Howe and Sid Abel, the line mates, they're already gone. So he was the last one. He's 93. So he was still going. But now Ted Lindsay, rest in peace.
Fought for other rights, too. He refused to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame because they didn't allow women to the ceremony.
I did not know that.
And,
you've been reading up on Ted Lindsay?
I did. So he wouldn't go.
Wouldn't allow women inside or to be inducted into the... Which hockey hall? This wouldn't be the...
I took this to be the big one, but I don't know.
The one in Toronto, though.
The following year, women were allowed, so he went.
Okay. Well, there is... A lot of women's hockey.
You'll have to look
into
that more because you probably would be more interested in some of the particulars.
Or maybe not. Bugatti has just sold the most expensive new car in the history of the world. The black car is what everybody's calling it. Like the Beatles' White Album, it's just an all-black car. It looks like Batman's car. Also called the Batmobile. But it's cooler than the Batmobile. It doesn't have missiles. I should point that out.
Yeah. Doesn't change into a motorcycle.
It has a carbon fiber body. The entire body is carbon fiber. You know, like now when you, if you're going to get a BMW, like a new BMW, and you get like the carbon fiber wheels, that's like an extra, like 10 grand. I mean, carbon fiber is expensive. The whole body is carbon fiber. It is completely hand-built. It has 1,150 horsepower. The interior is completely customized to the body of the driver.
Jeez.
Like, you buy it, they put you in there, and they build components of the interior around you. It has six exhaust pipes. Six. I used to, like, base my love of a car when I was a kid on the number of exhaust pipes. If it had two, that was a fast car. If it had four,
yeah,
like those old Trans Ams, like Smokey and the Bandit, with a 6.6 liter, you were like, that is badass. That's
sometimes more is better. Pipes. I mean, not like, say, breasts.
You don't want four of those. Right, yeah. Well, dogs, pigs, other mammals. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women, no.
No.
No, no. Or men. No,
but exhaust pipes, more.
Yeah, six exhaust pipes. It sold for nearly $19 million. There was one built. Goodyear is unveiling tires for new flying cars. The Geneva Auto Show is going on right now. I should point that out. That is, I think that's the biggest auto show in the world. The American Auto Shows were all in January, February. We're going to have one here in Des Moines, actually, starting Friday. It goes all weekend. But in Geneva, it's going on. So all of these cars and car stuff is coming out right now in Geneva. Goodyear has introduced the Aero. It would operate both as a tire for driving on the road and as a propeller for airborne travel. The Aero is a multimodal tilt rotor concept that would use magnetic propulsion, the company said. The spokes are designed to support the weight of the vehicle on the ground and then act as fan blades to provide lift. You can see the promotional videos on YouTube. Show the tires tilting upward as the vehicle rises. I just want to stay alive long enough to have one of these flying cars.
I think I pointed that out to you before. Yeah, I know.
I'm a big fan.
I can remember you referencing flying cars and What's Bugging Andy when you feared the Cubs were going to win the World Series, and they didn't. That was back when they didn't. They later would, of course.
What did I say? I know that we had a long conversation here about what would we rather have, flying cars or the Cubs win the World Series. And
yeah,
inexplicably, people picked Cubs win the World Series, which makes no sense.
Yeah, it would.
And now they would all take that back.
I was going to say, three years later, they'd be like,
yeah, give me those flying cars.
Yeah, I'll take the flying that much.
I'll give up that championship. It did not change my life.
Especially now that you have to pull out from snowbanks and risk your life.
Oh, man.
The flying car, I just hover right over to the other station.
You don't care. Right? You don't shovel your driveway. You got a flying car.
No, I just
do anything.
Go into my garage on top of my house.
Fly anywhere you want. I think we're out of time. It feels like we're out of time.
When we come back,
save this. I got some more good stuff for tomorrow. I want everybody to tune in to Murph and Andy tomorrow because I got more good stuff for more.
Throw it out.
Well, Murph and Andy sent you.
Don't let me throw it down. It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down. Murph, Iowa, and Iowa State hope to regain their midseason form in the next couple of games before tournaments begin. If only one team will do so, which would you guess it would be?
I hate that I don't feel like either is a strong candidate to regain form right now. Man, Iowa State is more talented with more of an upside, and I think Iowa is a little bit less of an internal mess right now. So I guess I'll narrowly pick Iowa. I think Iowa State's chemistry problem right now concerns me more than Iowa's lack of playmakers, breakdown the defense playmakers at the guard position. So I'll say Iowa, maybe, narrowly. I'm not feeling real good about either one.
It's not a resounding endorsement there, was it? We're talking about either of the next tournaments here.
Well, yeah, NCAA? Which of the two teams do you if one of the two is going to kind of regain form and start to look good again? Which do you think it'll be?
I will say this. I feel like I can tell who Iowa is going to beat and lose to better than I can tell that with Iowa State, right? Iowa State, I feel like they could beat anybody and lose to anybody. I feel like Iowa, there's, I don't know if consistency is the right word. They're more predictable. I could say that. If they're playing a team that is seated lower than they are, and certainly one that you've seen them play already this season, I feel like I know what's going to happen in that game. Whereas if they're playing a team that's considerably higher, I don't see an upset coming. So on that alone, I feel like it's Iowa.
They both look
but the
so
potential
bad
isn't there.
This
yeah,
past
no,
weekend.
It all depends on the matchup.
Yeah. A lot could change in the next couple of games.
Yep, it will change too. Yeah. We know
Andy,
it will.
If Baylor wins tonight against Oklahoma State, the winner of this weekend's Baylor-Kansas game will play Iowa State in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Who would the Cyclones rather see in Kansas City, the Bears or the Jayhawks?
Yeah, that's a really good question because Iowa State has not beaten Baylor. They've beaten Kansas. You know that Kansas always shows up strong. They have a lot of fans down there, but Iowa State has beaten both these teams in this tournament. Gosh, man, that Mekhi Mason has killed them. I feel like it's weird. It's really strange to say this, but I feel like the chances are better with Kansas because I think this is an underachieving team that's probably more full of quit, and Baylor is a team that sees more light at the end of their tunnel. They see more potential out of the rest of their season than Kansas does. Kansas has already had a kind of a lost season. So I think the potential is there for Iowa State to upset Kansas.
This could be conditioning, but I'd rather see Baylor, especially at that location. At some point, you'd feel like Kansas has the potential with even the talent that's still there to go on a run, and it seems more likely to happen in front of a strong home crowd. And for a team that has had kind of a lost season, by Kansas's standards, one way to course correct a little bit would be to win the Big 12 tournament.
All right, the poll is up on Twitter, @Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
You know what? That was just a, like, three or four downbeat minutes there after so much excitement this season, but face a rough patch.
Yeah, face some unpleasant music there is what we did.
Hit a little bit of a rough patch here with Iowa and Iowa State, but yes, it will change again, I think. We'll be surprised again.
I hope so.
I think. We'll be back with Trending Iowa on the other side here on 1460 KXNO.